Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I believe number five is aboard with us. David writes, you know, Dave, you there?
I am here. Hello, guys.
I got to show you this picture, Dave.
Eddie Coleman 30 years ago. My goodness.
That is scary. I guarantee you this is how the conversation went when Sweeney tried to get David on. He says, yeah, Ed and I are doing a show. And Dave says, he's still alive?
Yeah, wait, Eddie?
Yeah. Guaranteed.
He only agreed after I promised him that you and I don't throw, you know, like 98 mile an hour heat anymore. You know, we're throwing softballs out there too for everybody. So it's okay. David, how you doing? You guys doing okay up there?
Doing good, doing good. You know, just I'm trying to eat all the pretzels and drink all the coffee in the room, and the decision makers are trying to swing some deals.
Oh, God. How is, you know, Dave, you played with Carlos. He now takes over as manager. This will be, it'll be a testing season for him, no question about it, in New York. Always is. But what were your thoughts when Carlos was installed?
Well, Carlos is probably one of the smartest baseball guys that I've ever played with. You know, I know as a younger player, you know, getting a chance to play with a Carlos Beltran type, a five tool, was the type of player that I wanted to be. So, you know, a guy that could hit for average, hit for power, steal a base, play gold glove defense, you know, have those intangibles, have that ridiculous run in the postseason that he had. So, mm-hmm. You know, I was excited to play with him, and, you know, he's kind of got that new age, analytics background, but also that old school where you pull up a stool and let's talk baseball after the game and, you know, talk situations and talk, approaches at the plate. And, you know, it should be good for the younger players, especially to have a Hall of Famer at the helm and guy that you can shoot questions off of and talk baseball with.
David, how active have you been with Carlos in the course of the last month or so since he's gotten the job? And like, what are some of the things that you've observed with him as he dives into this and is different than, say, the player you got to know all those years ago?
I have not been very active. We've caught up quite a bit the last couple of days, and just his the intensity that he has for this position. Because I look at it from, you know, having played, and to me, it just seems like, you know, a crazy amount of work. And I obviously have two younger kids. So, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what he wants to do this, you know, what, you know, why this and that, but he is a baseball rat. He loves the game. He loves being around the game. He loves talking the game. And, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, will sit there for hours and just talk shop and talk baseball. And you could just tell what kind of baseball nut he is by having a conversation with him about one of the simplest things in the game. He just goes on and on and on. You could tell the passion that he has for teaching the game.
David Wright with us from the winter meetings out in San Diego. You know, Dave, when he played, what always used to amaze me is when, I'd talk to a guy who was going through a slump or a pitcher who was off his game at the time. You know, inevitably they would say, well, you know, Carlos told me this or Carlos spotted that. He's great at doing it from the dugout. Now he has film, which may make him even better. I don't know. But, he was always good at the nuances of the game and picking things out and helping other players, helping his teammates. And I think that's why, you know, so many of his teammates, revered him as well, too.
Yeah, I think just the attention to detail, the ability for him to go out there and look at, and this is before a lot of the analytics stuff, but look at, you know, tendencies and, mm-hmm. Where to play certain hitter. I mean, just the, like I said, the knowledge of the game, and that's something that you can't teach. It's either you got it or you don't. And, you know, he certainly had it in his baseball IQ, you know, as I mentioned before, just off the charts. And, when you combine that with the physical presence and the athleticism that he brought to the table, you know, he made it look easy. But the preparation and the you know, sitting down and, you know, I think it was like the old school. We used to bring the either the, you know, the cassettes or the DVD players with us and to look at, you know, different tendencies and things like that before the game. The preparation was there, and I think that's why he made it look so easy as a player.
We're talking to David Wright from the Winter Meetings, Sweeney Murdy in San Diego, Ed Coleman's in New York. David is up in Metzville somewhere in this hotel complex here, talking to us for a couple minutes. What are some of the things that you've enjoyed doing, David, over the last 12 months or so here in this role you've got? Your title is special advisor, and I mean, you made mention to the time that Carlos Beltran's going to have to put in here, and you couldn't foresee doing something like that. What are some of the things you've had your hands in here over the last year that you've enjoyed doing?
Well, something where, you know, when Brody initially asked me to come aboard, you know, I was very hesitant just because I was, you know, newly, you know, away from, you know, being a player. You know, I didn't want to spend the time that it took to probably do this, you know, the correct way. And he said, look, you know, give what you can give. And, you know, he's been great about, you know, inviting me here, inviting me there. Sometimes I accept the invitation. Sometimes I can't. You know, but I go to the winter meetings for a couple of days. I go down to spring training for about a week, work with some of the younger players. You know, I still like being around the game, talking the game, you know, talking shop. I'll go to New York for, you know, a week or two during the summer. But for the most part, I'm at an arm's length. And, you know, I think Brody respects that. And if he has an idea to kind of bounce off me, you know, I told him, feel free to give me a call. You know, I just don't, I want to be involved, but at a kind of an arm's distance and, you know, really prioritize, you know, my two little ones, my family, you know, do the things that I wasn't able to do over the last, you know, the 15-year playing career that I had. So, you know, I'm a newly, I guess, chosen co-ed T-ball coach this spring, which I'm excited about. You know, so I have a sportsmanship meeting I got to get back to and sit through that and make sure that I'm not yelling at umpires and everything. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. So those are my priorities, and obviously I love the Mets, love the front office ownership, the fans. Just you know, and I like staying involved, but again, you know, kind of on a part time role.
Madison is
the T-ball league is questioning your credentials, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think they've seen, you know, I was, you know, unfortunately ejected a couple times over the course of my career. So I think they pulled up some tape, and there might have been some potty mouth language that I'm going to have to explain. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'll try to follow the rules, and I'll try to, you know, I'm all about winning and, you know, but, you know, we'll have some fun.
Clean it up, will you, please? Olivia's what, one? And Olivia's three, and Madison is
Olivia's
one, right?
Three. Madison's one. Yeah, it's, you know, it's Olivia is just like her mother, thank God. And poor Madison's kind of got my body type. And,
there you go.
You know, and likes to snack like I do. So, you know, they're both great, but it's funny to see their different personalities this young.
Hey, Dave, you know, this guy used to ask about, anytime I saw him, he'd always ask about you, and I know you guys go way back, so I wanted to know what your first conversation with Ryan Zimmerman was after the World Series.
I mean, just a big congratulations. You talk about one of the more deserving, you know, forget about baseball players, but better human beings in the game, you know, Ryan Zimmerman comes to mind, you know, for me, a friend since childhood, and, you know, having endured what he endured the first part of his career when, you know, they went through those losing seasons, and now to, you know, bounce back and not only, you know, overcome the obstacle of, you know, winning a playoff game or a playoff series, but also, you know, winning the World Series. It was, you know, pretty special watch, and, you know, not that I'm a Nationals fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm a big Ryan Zimmerman fan.
Yeah. I think if you know him, you have to be, that's for sure.
Very good guy. Very good guy. I mean, you know, all of us from, you know, the Virginia Beach area, you know, just great people, you know? You know, Eddie?
Absolutely.
Dave, what was it like watching, I guess, really from afar now, the way Jacob DeGrom continued his domination this year?
I mean, I think there's no better word than just dominance. I mean, it's amazing to sit back and watch, and I think, you know, him being one of my better friends, you know, we talk, I would say, you know, after the majority of his starts, and just, you know, to hear him say, you know, I'm not feeling right, you know, there's something to tick off, especially early in the season, and look at the stat line, and it's like seven innings, 10 punches, you know, two earned runs. And it's like, wait a minute, you're not feeling right? And he's like, yeah, there's something off. I'm going to go work with my mechanics. He's a perfectionist. Yeah. He's a perfectionist. And I think the biggest compliment that I can give him is that when he doesn't have it, which is, you know, not that often, obviously, but when he doesn't have it, he's going to go out there and battle and compete and give you everything he's got to go out there and get the win. And, you know, you can't say that about a lot of starting pitchers. They need it to win. He doesn't need it to win because he can just go out there and compete, and he's got that mindset.
Yeah, but he's got a thirst. You know, that's what's great about him. He does have a thirst to get better, even when he's at the top of his game. And, you know, I think he's had, 64 starts here the last 2 years. I think I can count like three or four that have been off a little bit and not even that bad. But that's amazing, the consistency, when you think about that, Dave.
And, you know, incredible teammate. Yep. You know, I'm just glad that we're going to have him around for, you know, quite some time, because when it's all said and done, you know, I think we're talking about, you know, his number going up next to Piazza's and Seaver's and, you know, winning back-to-back Cy Young's. That's no easy feat, especially, you know, in the National League. But, you know, amazing. And somehow I feel like he still goes under the radar, which is, you know, he doesn't have that big personality. Mm-hmm. He's not all that outgoing. He kind of keeps to himself and just wants to be a dominant pitcher, which he is.
Speaking of
Eddie and I were just go ahead, Eddie.
I was going to say, speaking of numbers, when do you think number five is going up?
I don't know. It's you know, maybe DeGrom will go you know, well before me, which is probably deserved. But you know, I should probably talk to my guy Jay Horwitz about that. He's the alumni guy, so you know, I'll give him a phone call and try to persuade him with some giant tickets or something like that.
No, you don't want giant.
That might do the
trick. You don't want giant tickets right now. You don't want those right now.
Hey, David, you know so much about the winter meetings is about free agency, and this year it's the pitchers. Last year it was Harper or Machado. You never got to free agency. I know that was calculated and was by design, and you re-signed, and I know you don't have any regrets about how it worked out. But did you ever wonder what actual free agency was like when you're in the winter and you're actually not part of an organization and you're trying to field offers or worry about where you're going to be, where you're going to live, where you're going to play? Do you ever wonder whether it was friends you talked to who were going through the process, or just as you were maybe getting closer to that, what the process might be like?
Yeah, that just was never attractive to me. And I guess I was lucky, you know, being drafted by the team that I grew up rooting for, you know, being drafted by, you know, the New York Mets, you know, coming up through the system. You know, I never thought about it. You know, for me, it was home, a second home for me, the way that New York kind of welcomed me with open arms. And I knew that that's where I wanted to play if they'd have me. I knew that's where I wanted to finish my career. So, you know, to me, it seems, you know, and I've had some very close friends go through free agency. And I guess depending on the year, you know, whether it's, you know, an off season like last year, or, you know, more of an off season like, you know, this year, where teams are, I guess, being a little more aggressive, or at least moves are happening a little sooner. I guess it could be fun, or, you know, about as stressful as you can get, not knowing where you're going to play the following year. So I'm glad, you know, I never went through it. It's an exciting time, you know, now being a, you know, a fan of the game and kind of following it. And, you know, seeing where these different players are going, you know, it's a fun time, but I'm glad that personally I never had to go through it.
Hey, Dave, what do you think when you look at the National League East and Didi now going to Philly, and the Atlanta moves that they made, Strasburg back in Washington, a lot of competition that the Mets have to stack up against this year?
Yeah, I wish these guys would start going to the American League. You know, it'd be a much much more peaceful winter meetings up in the Mets suite. But you know, I think Brody's doing a really nice job of you know, when I mean that he works, he works. I mean, there's no stone unturned. He's got, you know, 100 different balls that he's juggling in the air. He's got you know, obviously you know, plan A, B, C, probably all the way through Z. But he's you know, he's a worker. And, you know, hopefully some things get done. But, you know, the effort level and you know, him going out there and formulating the plan is exhausting. I mean, he's up at the crack of dawn and, you know, he takes his last meeting, you know, well after the sun's down, and it's, you know, full go. I think he's, you know, single-handedly keeping the Starbucks here at the Hyatt in business. So, you know, he's really, really working hard. And, as you mentioned, you got some teams in the other division that are, you know, really ramping it up, and come, you got a World Series champion in division. You got, you know, the Phillies making moves. Obviously, the Braves with their dominance the last couple years. Certainly a tough division and one of the more competitive divisions in baseball.
I've dropped a few shekels at that Starbucks, too. So, yeah, it's when you're stuck on East Coast time, and you're waking up at 4:15 or 4:30 morning, that place gets a lot of business
Brody,
over there.
I said, hey, Brody, you know, I'm out on the West Coast now, so, you know, I need my sleep. You know, I'm not on East Coast time. I'm on the West Coast, so don't wake me up. You know, I got, specific working hours that anything before that, don't bother me.
Hey, I'm guessing one of the things they would call you about would be, you know, when the Mets are ready to play for big-time free agents, and that might be soon. I know you can't speak to what possible changes happening, but when you would be asked by somebody to give advice to, like, a big-time free agent on what it's like to play in New York and come to New York and dealing with everything else that goes with it, like, what are some of the things you learned that you would tell people to help them make that adjustment?
To only talk to Sweeney and Eddie C. I mean, you guys.
Hey, love it.
Everybody else, you know, can go kick rocks, but, you know, to me, there's no greater stage. You know, you hear athletes say it all the time, you know, coming to MSG or, you know, Yankee Stadium or Citi Field. It's, there's no greater stage to perform. And if you love, not necessarily the spotlight, but if you love thriving under the lights and if you love doing it, you know, on the biggest stage, then this is the place for you. You know, it's, and I never played anywhere else, so it's tough for me to describe, you know, to even pretend to know what it's like to play in the Midwest or the West Coast. But, you know, I know that when visiting teams came to New York, you know, it was always this, they brought their best because they wanted to beat us, and they knew that, you know, the obviously the games are televised and that, you know, the national media that we get in New York, that, you know, they wanted to bring their A game. They wanted to be on the highlights. And, you know, I think it takes a certain animal to thrive in New York, especially, you know, with your time management and dealing with the media and this and that. But if you're competitive and you want to do it at the highest level on the biggest stage, then there's no better place to do it than New York.
Hey, David, I know you got to run, and maybe it's because I missed the insults, but we're going to see more of you this year than we did last year?
Well, if you're going to be around, then no, but if you're not making a lot of the trip, I'll plan my schedule accordingly and see when you're taking trips off, and then I'll make sure I'm there.
Okay, I got you. There you go.
That's great.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Always a pleasure, guys.
I know.
David, thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.